You're listening to Dotto Tech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Welcome to Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto, and we are glad you're joining us this back-to-school Wednesday. Art Factora, my producer, is in the house. Art, how are you doing, sir?
I've had better days, but I'm doing better as it is today.
As listeners may be aware, anybody that visit our Facebook site, Art had tragic news earlier this month, late last month, as his mother suddenly passed away. So you've been taking personal time and in starting the healing process. It's tough, isn't it?
It's not easy, and I know you've told me before that not too long ago your father passed away, and I guess at any age it's not easy.
It's not, and it's kind of ironic that you hurt and then you don't necessarily want to not hurt, because it's part of the honoring of your parents, and it's what you hold on to for a long time. And, I don't think you ever get over it. You know, it's when it catches you at a surprise. You know, you're so close to it that it's constantly on your mind now. The insidious part is in 6 months or 5 months when you aren't thinking about her, and then you suddenly, a passing thought comes where you wake up in the morning and say, I should check with what's happened with mom today and stuff like that. And those ones that catch you, and you realize, you know, at that point there, those are the ones that hit me the hardest. It catches you blindside.
Yeah, at some point. You start noticing things more. Like, for example, I was at a park the other day, and I saw a mom and her daughter just sort of holding hands, walking through a park and hugging. And I was thinking, like, that's something I would never have thought about and given a second glance to. Mm. This morning on AM 650, my mom's name was Valentine, and they played My Funny Valentine. And I was like, something that never would have hit me at the time, and then just becomes immediately just hits you. Mm. And you're like, wow.
Yeah, well, on behalf of all of us, we're so sorry for you, and we hope that you have nothing but happy memories for the most part.
Absolutely,
good stuff. Hey, we've got a great show lined up today. It's back to school. I have a kind of yearly dyslexia. For me, the year always seems to begin in September. I never think of the year beginning in January. For me, September is the beginning of the year, because it's the beginning of the school year. It's when everything changes in your life.
Well, for me growing up, because my birthday was always around Labor Day. Like, my birthday's tomorrow. And I always dreaded my birthday coming up, because I knew it meant the start of school. But on the same note, my birthday meant getting
presents,
gifts, and,
yeah,
and people treating me well. And you're like, oh, like, so what do you do? Do you want the last 2 weeks?
No wonder you're so messed up.
Absolutely. And nobody cared, too, right? Because you get to school and everyone's excited about seeing each other.
Yeah, it's not like your birthday's a big deal.
No.
And then you could try and plan a party around it. Well, everybody's just kind of scrambling to get back.
It was a difficult childhood.
Kids that have sucky birthdays are ones that are in the middle of summer, ones that are at Christmas, ones that are on New Year's, Christmas holidays, any of those. And then, the early September birthday, that's when it sucks. Yeah, I hear you.
What are you going to do?
I feel you. But you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. You don't get to choose. What we got on the show today? We're going to start things off. We're going to kick things off in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about the new iPhone, the iPhone 5S. Is that what they're going to be calling it? It looks like, indeed, next week, Apple will be doing their announcement. So we have Gary Ng from iPhone in Canada on to talk to us about the hottest rumors from Apple, which I've been pretty much ignoring this year, but they are, nevertheless, they're just going through hot and heavy.
The big rumors that I keep hearing are just about the colors. That's not a good sign when people, all they care about is that they're could possibly be another color other than black and white.
But it also speaks to Apple. You know, Apple's design. Apple is it's a consumer product, not a technology product at this point. But yes, we will be talking colors, I'm sure, with Gary. He will bring those up. We're also going to we've got two great back to school features. And one of our favorite mommy bloggers from Yo-Yo Mama, Anne-Marie Templeton Cluett, is going to be joining us, and she is going to be talking to us about apps and online sites that help parents dealing with the transition back to school for kids, helping them get organized, that kind of stuff. And then Lynn Massey-Danes is going to be talking to us about Learn Now BC, which is just a great online resource available to everybody in the province. One of my favorite. It tends to fly under the horizon, but one of my favorite, I think one of the best resources that we have in the province to help education. We should be using it more.
Remember when back to school shopping used to mean getting pencils, pens, and paper? Now Apple's the back to school shopping can just be done at the Apple Store. You just buy new apps for your kids.
You can get apps in tablets and phones. Speaking of which, Julian Sanders will be talking to us about tablets for back to school, and he seems to think that the age that it could start at is about grade 3, which is way crazy, but maybe it is. What age do you think kids should have? We were having this conversation in the house the other day. What age do you think kids should have a phone at?
Oh, well, I mean, I spent a lot of time with some of my brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces, and a niece of mine has a phone, and she, I believe, is 11.
Yeah. Yeah, that's grade 5 seems to be one thought. I think grade 8 is when they should. But boy, it's every parent is going to have to make that decision, and it's the pressure is just increasing. I do have one bit of news. Next Thursday we have our very first online webinar, 3 Steps to Inbox Zero. You know, the other thing about returning to work after the summer, or kind of taking things a little bit easy in the summer, is people's inboxes have exploded in email. So we've got two things happening. One, I have this webinar on September the 12th at 10 a.m. Next Thursday. It's free. Sign up. The registration is going great. We're limiting it to 500, and we're closing in on 400 registered. So sign up today. Go to dottotech.com/3steps or sign up online. The other thing is we have a contest. The worst inbox wins.
And what do they win?
The most inbox. They win a great scanner from Fujitsu and a bundle of... wireless modem and a bundle from Belkin, from Linksys. So we've got some very cool prizes. So you have to send me it's on the website to click to enter. So far, guess what the leading candidate has? Just guess how many emails were in their inbox.
Oh, geez. Well, I myself have about a couple thousand, so I'm guessing he probably had about 5,000-6,000 of unread ones.
44,000.
Oof.
It's unbelievable. But drop by dottotech.com to sign up for that. We're going to take a quick break and return with iPhone rumors. Joining me online now is Gary Ng from iPhone in Canada. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing well, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing just great. So September, you know, there's a season for everything. There's hunting season, there's fishing season, and there's iPhone season.
That's
and September,
right.
September is iPhone season, where the technology world stops, holds its breath, and says, what are you going to give us new, Apple? And is September 10th the day? Is that been confirmed now?
Yes, Apple has just sent out invites to the press, sending them to a September 10th event. That was actually previously rumored, and it's been confirmed today. The slogan on the invite press image says, quote, "This should brighten everyone's day," and there's colorful dots everywhere. So people are trying to predict what's going to be coming.
Okay, and so what is the rumor mill churning out? I've been on holiday. I haven't been really following the iPhone story this last little while. Normally, I'm right into there. But so, what are the hot rumors about the new iPhones?
Well, basically, there's going to be the iPhone 5S, which is going to be the same design as the iPhone 5, but basically a spec bump for the processor, a better camera that will take better images in low light. There's rumors that there's going to be a new gold kind of champagne colored iPhone and possibly another sort of a different type of silver colored phone as well. So that's and also the major feature that people are talking about here is some sort of fingerprint sensor built into the home button on the iPhone 5S and possibly higher storage options up to 128 gigabytes, which people have been asking for the longest time.
There's going to be a lot of cosmetic things that Apple always does. So, they're going to make it look cooler. Adding colors would be, I guess. Although so many people just wrap their phone in a case. I don't know if that makes that big a deal. But technically, better camera. We're expecting a new security interface with something like a biometric or a fingerprint reader and higher storage options.
Those are the key things. Also, of course, iOS 7 is going to be launching in September as well. But there's also rumors of a sort of a lower cost iPhone model, which people have started calling the iPhone 5C, which is supposed to be maybe a couple hundred dollars cheaper outright compared to the iPhone 5S. So maybe starting at like $400 or $500 around there compared to $699 for the iPhone 5 right now. And that's supposed to have a sort of a plastic back. Mm. And it's basically the iPhone 5 wrapped in plastic, and it's going to come in a variety of colors, which people are assuming it's going to come based on this press invite, which has a whole bunch of different colors. And a whole bunch of leaks have happened where people have seen different colors of this shell.
For the 5C.
For the iPhone 5C, yes.
This is a real departure for Apple from their normal strategy for releasing products, because in the past, because Apple does not tend to leave orphans, they've kept older phones in the sales system and dropped them in price. So Apple would normally drop the iPhone 5 when the 5S came out. They would drop it by $150 or $200 and would continue to sell it still as a just a second tier phone.
Yeah,
is this going to be this kind of muddies those waters, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's one particular analyst who's had a pretty good track record with Apple in following its supply chain. He claims that Apple will possibly drop the iPhone 5 and that will be replaced by the iPhone 5C. So what we'll see is the iPhone 5S is the top latest phone, and then we'll have the iPhone 5C. And possibly they'll still keep the iPhone 4S around to make it like even cheaper.
Even cheaper. Entry level free phone with carriers. That's really surprising. That's going to be something to really watch. Now, I'm wondering if there is a bit more of an interesting backstory to that than just marketing. I'm wondering if the 5, as it's being currently manufactured, is too expensive for them to manufacture, or if they just have too many technical problems with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Usually with what you said before, what Apple does is they keep the old models around. They can, use economies of scale and just, get a larger, bigger profit margin on those phones. I find it difficult to think that the iPhone 4S would still kick around, because Apple right now, they've been changing all of their connectors to the new Lightning connector.
Yeah.
And the iPhone 4S is one of the last devices that still uses the wide 30-pin connector. So
yes.
Unless, they're getting a super deal on being able to create this phone still, I don't know why they would keep it around. It would make sense to kind of keep the iPhone 5 around, but the only differentiating factors would be, the colors. I mean, it's again, it'd be a 4 to 4S type of thing and 5 to 5S, so... Mm-hmm.
So how do you think, Penn, of the new features, what's the one that's going to compel people with the 5S? Is it the security with a fingerprint reader, or is it the memory?
Well, I think it might be the camera. I mean, the camera on the iPhone has been, it's probably by far one of the best cameras you'll find on a smartphone.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't really talk about it, but I mean, when you compare the iPhone 5's camera to other cameras, it's amazing.
It's interesting that it's got the exact same optics as the Samsung Galaxy, the top-end Samsung Galaxy, but the Apple software makes it that much better.
Yeah, I know that with the iPhone 5S, there's rumored that there's going to be a dual LED flash. That's another rumored feature that's supposed to make pictures taken with flash better. I know that the aperture is moving to 2.0, which will allow for better images in low light. But other than that, looks like the fingerprint sensor looks to be, the switching factor for people to upgrade. It'll be interesting to see what comes out. I mean, we've seen a lot of leaks lately. Earlier this morning, we saw another parts leak of a purported iPhone 5S home button, which looks different from the iPhone 5 home button. So people are saying, this could be the part for that fingerprint sensor. Hard to say, really.
Let's talk about the memory story for just a second. Now, if they're going to be increasing the amount of memory, has it been an issue? There are a lot of people complaining about the fact that, I guess it's because of the camera if they do run out of space, but have a lot of people been complaining about the storage in the existing iPhone lineup?
I think as apps, as people download more apps, more games, images take more, people take more video, I guess the need is there for more space. For heavy users that rely on their iPhone to take video, I think 128 gigabytes of storage would definitely appeal to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's also been rumors that the camera or the new feature in the new phone might come up with some sort of really fast video recording. Someone spotted code in the iOS 7 beta that said possibly a, you know, video could be recorded at like 120 frames per second.
Yes.
To create some sort of slow motion video. And given, you know, the new hardware upgrade in this new iPhone, they're saying that could be another feature.
Is there any rumor at all that Apple's going to change its philosophy and allow some external storage to go into the iPhone?
You mean like have room for a memory slot?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I
that's one that's always, you know, that, you know, is always kind of perplexed me why they wouldn't with the amount that we do use our phone for images.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for Apple, I mean, we've seen they've never really had sort of an external storage option. I guess if you take a look at the iPods, it's always been sort of fixed along with the battery as well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Apple is appealing to the casual user who, you know, probably doesn't want to fumble with a memory card and maybe losing it. And basically, you know, they're keeping everything within the phone. And now, you know, there's backups nightly to the cloud for all of your images. So yeah. You can get it through PhotoStream on your Mac. So that's how another way that people can quickly access their pictures.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, right. And people that use Dropbox, it automatically goes into that as well. So there's lots of different ways to move it through. So that's going to be so those are the rumors around the phone. Now, Apple typically doesn't just release phones in a vacuum. Is there rumors about new iPads or anything else in this announcement?
Well, once again, there were rumors that Apple was going to announce iPads at this event, but now looks like they're going to hold another event in October, just like they did last year, to announce refreshed iPads. Basically, the 9.7-inch iPad, the regular-sized iPad as we know it today, that is looking to get a thinner design, basically like the iPad mini. So it's looking to have a thinner shell, most likely, again, a processor upgrade, maybe an improved camera. As for the iPad mini, people are kind of 50-50 on whether or not there's going to be a Retina display in that smaller iPad. So it's going to be interesting to see what Apple will come up with.
So is there any of this part that you really, is there anything that we're, quite often they do come with something from out in left field. Is there any inkling that there might be something completely unique?
I'm really curious to see what a gold-colored iPhone or sort of a champagne-colored iPhone would look like. It just is, I mean...
You're such a slave to fashion, Gary.
I know. It just, I'm like, it's like the Austin Powers. I love gold. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I guess, you know, people, they're saying that, you know, gold will appeal to certain markets overseas where people love the color gold and it'll sell like hotcakes and... in like China or India.
Yeah, yeah.
They're saying the iPhone 5C, the lower cost iPhone, is supposed to appeal to emerging markets due to the, you know, a cheaper outright price.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it. It'll be interesting to see what price they'll start the lower cost iPhone if it is coming out. The outright price, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, if they can come out with something where, you know, people pay $99 on 2 years or even $0, I mean, I think that would cause a lot of people to jump back on the iPhone and reconsider getting an Android smartphone.
Okay, yeah, because they're certainly under siege, but still in better shape than, say, our friends at BlackBerry. So how are you guys going to be covering the September 10th? What time is it, and what's going to be happening at iPhone in Canada?
Basically, it's September 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time is when Apple will have the event. There's no, we don't know if they're going to live stream it like they did one of their previous events this year at WWDC. For us, we're basically going to be providing coverage of the event as it happens, basically taking out all the necessary info that readers need to know and putting it out there. What model comes out, where you can buy it, when you can buy it, all the important information, we'll have it right there for you.
So you're going to be putting it up on your blog site, or are you going to be tweeting it out as well?
We're going to be putting it up on the blog, but we'll also be doing a little bit of tweeting as well, just to keep people who are interested that need to know.
So visiting iPhoneincanada.ca is the place to start. And what's your Twitter address?
It's at iPhoneincanada.
At iPhoneincanada. Perfect. Gary Ng is my iPhone expert. His blog site, by the way, you guys are going through a redesign on your website. It looks really sharp. I think
you
guys
are really nice. Thank you very much, Steve. It's always a pleasure to join you on the show.
Thanks so much. Gary Ng from iPhone in Canada.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs.
Visit our
Nobody
website
does it better.
At dottotech.com
and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
We only have a few traditions here on Dottotech. App Wednesday is a tradition, and this next guest is a tradition. As long as I have my show on the air, Lynn Massey-Danes will be a guest every September. Lynn is the Managing Director at LearnNowBC, the excellent online resource center for the province of British Columbia and for all of our students. Lynn, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. What a great introduction.
Yeah,
I really appreciate being one of the regulars on your show.
Well, you guys do such a good job. And, you know, every time I give public talks talking to parents and educators, I always talk about LearnNowBC because it is such a valuable resource. You guys have so many tools. And while a lot of the province knows about you, there's, you know, new parents and a lot of people just don't are new into the school system. And a lot of people still just don't know the depth of resources you guys have that really help kids that engage and parents that engage through the school year.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, Steve, is that they're all free.
Everything free and available to every citizen in our entire province.
That's exactly right. So we are learnnowbc.ca. So some of the things that we've got available is we have got an incredible study center. Mm-hmm. And there's something for everybody in there, Steve. There's a face-to-face online tutoring. There is 24/7 videos available to students that are all BC curriculum-based, as well as we've got a product called Success Checker. Success Checker is a little bit of a practice for exam preparation. So you can go on there as a student, pick your course, take your test, see how you're doing, and then it'll actually tell you with a PDF study guide what you need to study.
Now, does that Success Checker, it does work as the kids are getting closer to the ones that are still taking provincial exams, it does help them prepare for those, correct?
It does, but you know what, Steve? If they know that their teacher is going to give them a quiz, mm-hmm. they can also use it for that. Teachers use Success Checker quite a bit in schools as homework for their students because the students can go on, take the test, then put in the teacher's email, and their results actually get mailed to the teacher. So then the teacher knows how they're doing.
Oh, wow. So it's an automated system that helps the flow of information to the teacher and for the kids as well.
That's exactly right.
Very good. You know, all of these things, every step that we get to that gives the kids a chance to challenge themselves and you know, and do a little bit of work and get instant feedback. That's really an automated process. That's, you know, that's just such good use of resources.
It is. And with our students in this day and age, they really are fairly independent. They have their own devices that they're used to using, and they like doing things on their own more than probably what we did when we went to school.
And to be fair, with so many two-parent working families or single-parent families, the amount of time that parents have to support their kids with homework is less than it was, you know, a decade or two decades ago as well.
That's right. And you know the good thing about our site, Steve, is that parents don't have to worry about not understanding what their students or their children are taking in school anymore. I know if I didn't have LearnNowBC and I had a child that needed some help, it would be really hard for me to understand what the BC curriculum is. Mm-hmm. The beauty of this is that the parents can go on, create themselves an account, they can actually look at what their children are doing and get a level of understanding so they can help them.
And I mean, we do have so many good online resources, not just at your site, but overall to help with education. I mean, you're thinking of the things like the Khan Academy, which I know you folks integrate, but what I like about the way you integrate it is the Khan Academy videos are there, which are wonderfully done, but you also have some other videos that are just dedicated towards the BC curriculum, so that augments all of the other information.
That's absolutely right. Steve. Under our homework help, we do have the Khan Academy. We have other resources such as SchoolWax that teachers are using in their classroom. We have Discovery Education. We have an art project that's done by Google where our teachers can take their classroom on a online virtual tour of art galleries. Yep. We have virtual museums. We also have all of the district digital resources that the school districts pay for students online. So those are all available for students to use after hours.
Can you give me an example of what that might be?
That might be, an example would be the CBC videos.
Oh.
So the school district purchases all of the top news stories from CBC. They're all online, so when the teacher says, do a story on Syria, they can go online and use this as part of their homework.
So it's dealing with rights issues and all that stuff. So the
That's exactly right.
So teachers are allowed to use the video or photos or articles in their classroom, but students
all
could
copyright.
And students could also copy and use them for part of their reports out back.
Yes,
good.
The copyright is taken care of.
Mm.
They also have huge database bundles, Steve, which have just multitudes of databases with periodicals, books, all kinds of articles that can be used as part of their homework research.
Okay. We're talking to Lynn Massey-Danes, who's the managing director at LearnNowBC. It's LearnNowBC, if you're just joining us, is the online resource center for the Ministry of Education here in the province of British Columbia. It's at learnnowbc.ca. is the website, and we're just talking about the depth of resources that we have. Let's talk about younger kids, because again, we do concentrate a lot on the high school age, but what about the younger kids?
I have got a perfect product for preschool to grade two. It's called the Young Learning Center, Steve, and in there we have got Bailey's Bookhouse, Trudy's Time and Place, Millie's Math House, and Sammy's Science House.
Love Sammy's Science House.
And these are online interactive videos for young students to teach them how to read, how to tell time, how to do math products. And, you know, I had my nephew on this in the summertime, and I thought I knew it. But you know what? He found a place where he creates a train, and then once he gets it all organized properly, he can create a video with it.
Oh, neat.
And that was it's just amazing. And we also have all of the teacher resources online for teachers to use as well as parents to use.
So if you're doing a little bit of home education, or if you want to support your kids a little bit more, you can go through the educator resources, and then as your child is using Millie's Math House, you know what the goals of each of the lessons are, and then you can support them a little bit better as they're learning.
That's exactly right, Steve.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, and it's I think this is increasingly important, and I believe a very small percentage of people know that we have it online, is students in the province have a right to take distance education courses anywhere else in the province. So when, especially in high school, if your kids have gone back to school and maybe a course has been dropped in your school or it's not convenient because of their schedule, that a course which is important to them is not available in their school for them, they can then take that course somewhere in the province online, and you guys are the brokerage house that puts all those marriages together.
That's exactly right, Steve. We've got a course finder on LearnNowBC that houses about 2,700 courses across the province. And you're very right. Students now have the right to take a distributed learning course outside of their regular bricks and mortar school. And we have all of those courses listed. They can take them online. It tells on our site whether there's, you know, how they're going to be assessed, what the teacher is, what's going to be expected of them. And those are all available free of charge to any student in the province as well as to adults.
So if you're looking to get your high school diploma, or you're looking to fill out, or even you want to take the same course as your kid's taking, you can do that.
You can do that. We've got a place for adults on our site, too, that gives them all the information that they need as adults on how they can get their graduation. And all the different types of graduation that is available to them. It's pretty intuitive, and it's called the Adult Learning Center.
Mm.
And it actually walks them through. There's a video, and it walks them through all their different options.
Isn't that cool? You know, you guys have so much stuff going on, and you're such a small team. I'm always amazed by what you turn out. How many years have you been in existence now?
We, October 7th, we will have been in existence for 7 years.
7 years, and you've built this incredible resource. So parents that are listening, if you haven't yet, visit learnnowbc.ca. You can go on there, you create a user ID, it gives you access to everything within it. And, of course, in some school districts, all of the students are automatically registered. If not, your students have to register independently, but it's free. It is definitely worth spending some time poking your head around at. And Lynn? Thanks so much for all the help you give the province. I know you guys make a big difference in the overall academic success of our province.
Thank you so much, Steve. And make sure that the parents know that we've got all those videos that are there specifically that you've done for us.
Oh, yeah.
That are the Life Online videos. And those are just stuff for parents, giving them, you know, just some little snippets of information on different products.
On different, how to survive in the social media age with
That's
your kids.
Exactly right.
It's a challenge. Lynn, thanks a lot. We'll hopefully get you back on just before exam season. How about that?
That sounds great. Thanks, Steve.
That's Lynn Massey-Danes, the Managing Director of LearnNow BC. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe
you.
You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
One of our favorite mommy bloggers is Anne-Marie Templeton-Clewitt. How are you doing, Anne-Marie? Sorry?
Good. How are you?
Good. Sorry, I jumped the gun there before Art could get your mic open.
Oh, sorry.
Now, Anne-Marie has a very popular site at Yo-Yo Mama, which is all sorts of resources for parents to do with their kids. And I wanted to get you on to talk about getting the kids back to school. Now, how old are your kids?
They are 7 and 9.
So you're kind of new to the school thing. Well, not completely new, but it's, you know, it's not old hat for you yet.
No, and I still find the first week of back to school hits me like a school bus.
It is. It does. It's just a ton of bricks. So we wanted to talk to you today about some technology, some apps, some tools that parents can use to kind of help ease that transition back into school, organizationally, things to do with your kids, all those sorts of things. And you said you got a whole whack of them for me.
Yeah. In fact, so many that you may be hyper-organized by the end of it all or over-organized. But, I mean, most parents, I find making school lunches just overwhelming.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I have one really picky eater, so you can't give her that. And then there's nut allergies.
And the frustration when the kids come home and they're hungry and they haven't had you know, they had a bad day at school, and you look in their lunch, they haven't eaten your well because you didn't eat your stupid lunch.
Yeah.
I didn't like what you made me.
Here's a hint. If you eat, you do better. Your day goes better.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the – it's a site, and she has a great Instagram and an app called WeLicious.
WeLicious.
WeLicious. And so on the app, there's video recipes, and on the site you can check. She talks about food for the whole family. So there's food for like babies, and then there's a whole school lunch section, and there's the easy family dinner section.
Oh, it looks healthy too.
Yeah, and her Instagram's awesome. Like she packs these kind of little bento box lunches every day, and it's kind of aspirational, but not Pinterestingly irritatingly so.
But now. Does she give you a shopping list and stuff? Because, you know, it's fine that she puts together these lunches, but in the morning when you're getting the lunch together, it's all about how good a job you did shopping the weekend before.
Yes, that's true. I don't know that she does, to be honest. Yeah. I sort of use the images more, and she'll do, like, she does, she. I like her recipes because it's sort of like, here there's melon balls and berries, and I made little mini muffins, and so it's not like sandwiches and carrot sticks sort of thing. So the app is pretty, and the site is pretty full throttle. So I think there's a lot of those kind of resources there.
But just getting the ideas, you know, and I guess with the pictures, you could sit down with your Wean and go, all right, look at these pictures. Do any of these lunches appeal to you?
Exactly.
So you could actually get them buying in on the pictures beforehand, and they
exactly.
look at them.
Exactly, yeah, and yeah. And her pictures look very, you know, delicious. So I don't know if my lunch.
That would be the problem, Mom. It doesn't look the same.
Yeah, that one looks really pretty. My lunch looks kind of ranky, but.
Do you actually go? I'm looking at her pictures right now. Do you actually go through and cut your kids' sandwiches into heart shapes?
No.
Okay.
I have tried that before in the past when they were younger, but yeah, no. I do write like lunchbox notes and like messages on my bananas and stuff like that, though.
Oh, you write messages on the bananas?
Yeah.
That's cool. My mom would. That was a cool idea.
Yeah. So I used to do it for my husband when we first met, and he's like, could you stop putting love notes on my bananas because everyone's making fun of me at work?
Really?
Yeah.
Now, that's excessive. That's got kind of stalker written all over it, I got to tell you.
Well, we were first dating, and I thought I had to make his lunches.
Still, it's kind of creepy. I'm in my world, anyways. I think messages on the banana. It's there's a song. Oh, that's Message in the Bottle. Sorry,
yeah.
different song, not Message on the Banana. Okay,
yeah. We're gonna write a new song after this.
There we go. So, Wheelicious is number one on your hit parade. What's next?
Another cooking one is How to Cook Everything by Mark Bittman, which is the best cookbook that everybody should have.
I think Art Factor loves that cookbook.
Oh.
How to Cook Everything. Was that the one that you liked, Art?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes, there's an app for it now.
Yeah.
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 So you can have his entire cookbook on your phone. It's awesome because I used to literally travel and take his cookbook with me if we were going. So
yes.
Which is like what, 10 pounds, Art?
Yeah. It's that's it. That's the one. How to Cook Everything, and he's got like a list of everything in there.
And it's like and it has school lunches. It has seasonal meals. You can put in. I've got kale and sausages, and it will give you recipes that use kale and sausages.
Oh yeah, leftover recipes. That's a great thing. Now this one is not free. It's a $10 app, so you know that if they're charging $10 and it's a popular app, it's probably pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I paid $5.99 for it back in the day, and I thought this was like a big deal. So, but it's worth every penny because the cookbook's a lot more than that, and it's literally the whole cookbook on your phone.
It is the whole cookbook on your phone.
And I got it for free.
Yeah, because it was free.
Oh, it was
when
on the free app
their anniversary. Yeah,
it was on the app anniversary thing. That was a good choice. That was a good choice. Yeah. So it's $10 now, which is still, you know, if you think about just helping you through that stress of just doing the lunches in the morning. That's worth it.
Yeah, and it updates seasonally, too. So if it'll have, like, quick and easy dinners, because the other thing is you come home from work, it's like, oh, my God, we have to eat in 10 minutes. And so, yeah, it has all that kind of stuff in it, too.
And it the other thing is it's also on iPad. It's not just on the iPhone.
Yeah,
so which works great. I mean, that's where I like to have recipes is on the iPad, not on
the iPhone. Yeah, I find my iPad's like my new cookbook.
Yeah, and you got a stand for it for the kitchen?
I do.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, that's a good one, too. How to Cook Everything. What's up next?
And then there's kind of organizational stuff. So Evernote, I've still not got the hang of it, but I asked some friends what they love, and they love Evernote because they use it for shared grocery list stuff. So I have the list, you have the list, I pop by the store and get the milk, and then I update the list, and you see that we still need the kale. I'm obsessed with kale today. And so, you know, so they find it's great for that, so you don't end up with two of one thing and none of another.
And there's a couple of good other apps that do the same kind of thing. They're shared grocery list apps. As a matter of fact, we'll have to go back and look, but last week on App Wednesday, last month, I believe, one of the contenders was a shared grocery list that between two people that had the things checking off, and so you could see what was still on the list and what wasn't.
Yeah,
but Evernote
perfect.
Would certainly do that, because Evernote has the ability to do checks within it.
Yeah,
you have
and
to
if
be,
you're already using it for work stuff, it's a great way to expand it with something you already have.
The only caveat I would put on that is Evernote, you have to be using the premium version of Evernote to be able to share notebooks back and forth that way and to be able to share notes. So if you're both using the premium version, which is $4.95 a month or something like that, it costs a little bit of money, then, which I do. I mean, I'm a huge Evernote fan. But both partners have to be. If not, a quick search on the App Store for shared grocery list management
would be great.
It's just the concept of doing the shared grocery list as you get back to school with the different partners coming home at different, and even once you get high school kids too, you know, they might be popping in the store on the way home.
Exactly.
You could share the list with them.
And then you're going to have four people having the premium version of Evernote.
Evernote would like that, but the grocery list managers might be a better one for that too.
They're great. And then if you have a partner like me who isn't really into technology, you still have to have a written out list, but that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. You know, why are you on the show if you're not into technology? That's my question.
No, I am. He's not.
Oh, he's not.
No, I am.
He's into message fruit. I know.
Yeah
okay.
Totally. and then one of my favorite kind of to-do list apps is Remember the Milk, which you can use free, and then it syncs with your phone once a day and your computer, or you can pay $25 a year, and it syncs as much as you want with as many devices as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it to schedule your work to-dos, but also your personal ones, and then you can also send reminders to other people to do stuff as long as they have it as well, and they can just have the free version for that. And I just really like it because you can... You can also have things, you can tag everything in there for searchability, and reminders can pop up on your phone or somebody else's phone, so I find it quite robust.
And it looks like it integrates with a lot. I'm just having a quick look at it. Yeah. It also integrates with Gmail and Google Calendar, so it'll put things, and Outlook, and Evernote. And so there's some sort of integration with Evernote, which I'll have to take a close look at. That looks like a pretty good app.
Yeah, no, I really like it. And, you know, you can even send a note, remember the milk to somebody, because it's perfect for that. And I like the tagging functionality, and so I just find it really useful.
And it works with Siri, so Siri will integrate it as well, which is kind of nice as well.
Yes, yeah, I haven't actually tried using Siri to do that, but that's why you're more technology. You're more techie than me.
We love the Siri on this show. Yes. Okay, good.
And then have you heard of Recollect, the Recollect app?
No, what's that?
It's the Vancouver Garbage Collection Schedule app.
Oh, those are so good. My municipality does not participate in those programs.
Oh.
It is such a good... Go ahead, fill it in. I love this app.
It's awesome. And so, you know, you don't have to have that question after the long weekend, when's garbage day? You don't have
conversation
to...
we had yesterday. We always go to their website and look for the PDF for the garbage collection schedule.
Yeah. No, this one will reminds you every time before it's garbage day. And it's a good marriage saver because it can remind your partner if they're the garbage person in the house. And you don't have to remind them. So I just love this one.
And a lot of municipalities do participate. And you could. I've called my municipality, told them about it, and they just go, huh? So, man, okay. That's good. That's excellent. Good choices.
Well, thank you. And then, of course, Mint for budgeting and finances is a great one.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're not using it already. So
do you use it?
It's another one where I should use it, and I have it, but I did a little bit of research before you and I talked, and people are like, oh, it saves my life, and da-da-da-da-da. So it's, one of those ones that I know I ought to use and I hear great things about, but I just have to sit down and take the time to set it up.
Gaining control over family budgets is that can save a marriage more than
garbage.
That
alone, that's better than the garbage, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what about Yo-Yo Mama? What about your site? What do you guys got? How busy do you guys get now that back to school's happening?
Well, we have our own great app, which is called On the Go Kids, which has all the family friendly events happening around the Lower Mainland.
Yeah,
so that's another great one for organizing if you're a parent and you want to know what's happening on the weekend, or it's actually not just the weekend, but that's when most stuff happens. So you can search by day or time,
and you want to pick good things, and because the leisure time's over, summer's over, now you got the kids, the time you pick to do activities with your kids has to be really well spent.
Exactly. You only have the weekends now mostly, or you know, the evenings, and you assume the weather's going to be more miserable, so it's really great because there's a lot of fall fairs and festivals and stuff coming up, and it's a nice time to make some really quality time with your kids on the weekends.
And that app is available for Vancouver, Calgary, and Toronto?
Vancouver, Calgary, and Toronto, and it's free.
And it's free on the Go Kids, which is one of our favorites. Anne-Marie Templeton-Clewitt, thank you so much, and good luck with the kids back to school.
Yes, thank you, and good luck with setting up my Mint.
You know, you could always just put a budget on a banana. That's another option.
That would be, and send it to work with my husband.
You're tuned into Dottotech. I'm Steve Dottotech. We'll be right back.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Dottotech. Nobody visit does our it website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Online now from Saskatchewan, our good friend Julian Saunders. Julian, are you kids school age, Julian?
Preschool age.
Preschool age. So was it exciting? Now, was going to preschool in September, was that an exciting big kid thing to do?
She's very excited. She's been ramping up for a month. She's got a new teacher, and she just keeps talking about it. So
good stuff. Well, sometimes it's they lose that very quickly. So enjoy it. Enjoy it while we have it. So what have we got for back to school from you guys this week?
Well, I've been talking to a lot of people getting tablets. There's a ton of people coming in wanting a tablet for their children going to school, not just the high school, you know, the middle school age, even university and college, but mm-hmm. a lot of people are looking at getting tablets for their younger children too, which surprised me.
That surprises me as well.
There's a lot of people that have been using their smartphone to, you know, keep their kids distracted when they're little, and I've had a lot of friends and customers come in asking me, well, I've got a kid that's in about grade 1 to 3 seems to be the sweet spot, and they want to get them something where they can download some apps and play around a bit for educational learning, so mm-hmm. to advance their vocabulary or their math. There's so many different apps out there to do that. I was impressed that the school system are catching on to it too. In Saskatchewan, there's several schools that have tablets as part of learning labs to learn computers, and the parents really want to keep that going, to keep the technology up, to keep the learning curve down. They want the kids to use them younger.
Okay, so what's new on the? I mean, that's a fairly expensive. That's an fairly expensive accessory for kids going to school. So have the prices like, have they come way down as far as the tablets go?
It used to be, you know, you had to come in and spend about $400 or $500, but now there's a bunch of different options. There's a popular one from ProScan. There's a little 7-inch tablet that we carry called the ProScan Internet Tablet. It's $79.99. It's only $80.
Really?
And it has Google certification.
So it's running Chrome?
It's running. It's an Android tablet. It's a full Jelly Bean Android tablet, and it has the certification it needs to get regular apps from the Google App Store. So you're not stuck with an in between. A lot of the inexpensive tablets over the years have had their own App Store. They haven't gone through Google certification, or they've raised the price of the tablet to $250.
Yeah.
But now the way that Google certifies things has become easier, so we now have an entry-level tablet starting at $80. So if you have a kid and you want them to have their own that's pretty good with their stuff, that don't drop it and throw it around, that one's an amazing choice.
Yeah, so it's a 7-inch tablet for $80, and it's full. So they can use it for Gmail, they can use it for web browsing, they can do all the educational apps, you could use it for Skype. It's a full player in the game.
You got it, yeah. Webcam, and it even has a micro SD card slot, so you can expand the storage. It has 8 gigs internal, and it has an on-the-go USB adapter to be able to plug in a flash drive to it in the box without spending any extra, and HDMI out to a TV. So, now,
is it really a bulk? Is it bulky by today's standards? I mean, how $80?
Well, it's a little bit thicker than a Nexus 7, so okay. That's kind of become the benchmark for shapes in the Android world, and it's not that, it's not huge and bulky. The processor isn't the fastest kit out there. That's one thing that's cut back because of its price, and the battery life. It's about a 4 to 5 hour battery.
Yeah, those would be the things. Now, what's the price of the Nexus 7 now, which is, if you're saying, is the benchmark?
Well, the new Nexus 7 starts at $249. It's actually still the one I recommend for the more serious users because it has a beautiful screen. They've really bumped up the resolution on it. You really got to see it for yourself to know what I'm saying. But the speed of the processor and finally they've put on a back camera, or front camera and back camera, which was lacking in the first generation Nexus 7. There was no camera on the back, so you couldn't whip it out and take photos. It's a hair better, in my opinion, than the next closest seller, which is the new Tab 3 from Samsung. It's a little bit, the Samsung's a little bit less expensive. It's $199 regular price. But the Nexus 7 has a better battery and also gives you that beautifully, startlingly good screen.
That's becoming a really crowded space now, isn't it? The 7-inch tablet space. There's more players in there than ever.
Oh, for sure. And there's a lot of people, if you have little kids, there's a lot of people that already have the iPad mini, which is still the first generation right now, at least as of this week. There's a lot of people with those that are, you know, they've moved on to a full-size iPad, or maybe they've bought one for their kids to share. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people picking up rugged cases for the iPad mini. That's one thing that I think the crowded Android space could use a little bit is good cases, but there aren't any that are really good, rugged, you know, water drop, vibration, spill-proof kind of stuff.
Because you know, once you start handing these to kids, they do drop them, and we've got an iPad mini in our family that's got a nice crack right across the screen already, and I mean, it didn't shatter, but it's pretty easy to drop them.
Yeah, for sure, and that the Griffin Survivor is only $60 for the mini, so that would have saved your screen.
Yeah, yeah.
So good investment.
Good investment. So let's go back to the Android tablets. You've mentioned the Nexus and the and what was the name of the $80 one?
The ProScan.
ProScan.
ProScan into 7-inch internet tablet.
So has anybody else caught your attention with a cool spin on the tablet?
Well, I love the Windows 8 Asus products. They're the quiet hero in the tablet world right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Mimo Smart is a very good 10-inch tablet for specs. It has all the stuff that you want, an HDMI, micro SD slot, and it's only $450, but it's not running Windows 8 RT. It's running the full Windows 8 Pro.
For $400?
For $449 regular
and
price.
You get the full version of Windows Pro.
Well, yeah.
That's eye-opening.
Exactly, because you can run any browser you want. Maybe you like having your own little extensions. Maybe mm-hmm. you want to install a couple of programs on there that you can't get a mobile version. You're not stuck with a different version of Office or anything. You can install full Office.
With OneNote, which makes that system phenomenal.
Exactly, and you can get a stylus for it if you want, or a keyboard, and go just like you would with your laptop at long writing sessions. So for somebody looking for something closer to a computer, but maybe not wanting to spend what a Surface, which is the other big seller.
Yeah. But it's half the price of the Surface.
Exactly, yeah. It has a slower processor. It has 64 gigs internal storage, so it's still in line there. But it running full Windows 8, it's killer.
Okay, yeah, for $450. Because that space hasn't taken off the way Microsoft would have liked it to. So maybe you know, those prices are certainly going to make it a lot more compelling.
Absolutely, yeah. And the Surfaces have all dropped in price now, too. A permanent price drop of $100 off of the Surface Pros.
Mm-hmm.
And the RTs have dropped as well. The bundles dropped another $50 recently, so that's a permanent new low price. So,
yeah, so they're coming
if
down.
You come in to put your hands on a Surface, it's much more compelling to walk out with one because it's $800 to start for the Pro and $400 to start for the Surface RT bundles.
So take that $100 you save and buy yourself a good case.
You got it.
Julian, thanks so much, and I hope your child really enjoys preschool.
Oh, I know they will.
Julian Saunders of London Broad.
Well, just like that, the show is done. Art, did you learn anything new today?
I've learned a few things, and I'm ready to have school-aged children now if for whatever they're dropped. And I need to be a good dad.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Think about the lunches. The thing that you can do to help set you up to have a happy life when your kids reach school age is from a very early age, really work on teaching them to eat lots of different food and be happy with different food and not be a picky eater. I'm not sure if that's something that you can train kids to or if it's just in their nature, but I would work on the training of that if I had the opportunity to raise a wee child again. The stress, Anne-Marie Templeton is so right about the stress of making your kids' lunches. You wake up in the morning, you got all these things to put together in the day, and then trying to figure out what Junior might eat for lunch. I hate that. I hate that. And then it becomes a battle of the wills with a kid. It can be a real extra point of stress that we don't need in the morning.
Or you can have that lucky kid who just likes jam sandwiches and you have no question
yeah,
what they want.
Because they're not allowed peanut butter anymore in school.
No, they're not.
Not in elementary. In high school, they can suddenly have peanut butter again. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what I don't know what I would have eaten. I think I probably ate in my, you know, out of five lunches, four would be peanut butter and jam sandwiches when I was a kid, up to grade 8 or so.
They're delicious.
That's it. That's all the time we have for this week's show. My thanks to our guests and to Art Factora for coming in and soldiering through today. We will see you next week for more Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.